podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning.
As you know, we are entering what is now known as bonus season. And for this next 3 weeks, we want to take a break from our usual series on the book of Genesis. And we're taking a short break to talk to you a little bit about money, particularly because some of you might actually have already spent the money even before you've actually received it. And so we want to make sure that you become prosperous. And over the next 3 weeks, we want to talk to you about prosperity. Now, if you walk out of here and tell people that Pastor Joey is a prosperity preacher, I need to qualify that because you must understand that in 3 years of preaching here, this is actually the first time I'm preaching to you about prosperity. And there's an important reason why. Now, if you go out of here and tell people that I preach and believe that people should be prosperous, the answer is absolutely yes. I do preach that the Bible teaches that we should be prosperous. Now, do I believe that everybody will be driving an Audi and a Ferrari? No. Do I believe, because I don't have one, I don't even have a car in Singapore. Do I believe that everybody's going to have a Rolex watch and a Patek Philippe? No, I don't even like watches. Because that is not the measure of prosperity. Too many times people think their branded shoes is why they're prosperous. In fact, it's very possible your branded shoes is the reason why you're not prosperous. Because you don't understand what it is. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 11 says, "The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity." The idea, this concept, this biblical understanding of prosperity comes from the word yathar, which literally means to exceed by moving forward, by jutting ahead, by crossing forward and beyond and leaving behind the past, so that you can build something in the future, so you can leave something behind to future generations. That's the idea behind this idea of prosperity. In fact, this verse is a rare verse. It's one of those few verses in the Bible that literally defines for you what prosperity is. And many times, the reason why we're not prosperous is we don't even understand what it means. Prosperity means you have residue, you have surplus. You have excess. In fact, prosperity means you have so much that you so willingly want to give away. And in very real terms, the reason why people are not prosperous is not because they don't have enough, it's because they don't think they're prosperous. In order to understand prosperity, you're going to have to understand the word abundant. Abundance and prosperity come together. You cannot be prosperous. Sometimes some people think prosperity is just, I've got a lot of things, a lot of cars. No. Do you have an abundant spirit to know that you're prosperous? You ever wondered what Albert Einstein had in common with Andrew Grove, the founder of Intel? Howard Schultz, the man who built Starbucks? Steven Spielberg, one of the most prolific filmmakers of our time, at least my generation. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, who founded Google. You ever wondered what these guys had in common? Mark Zuckerberg and the richest man in Singapore today, Eduardo Saverin. You know what they all had in common? It's not because they were all rich, they were all Jews. It's funny why in the United States, less than 2% of the population are Jews, but of the top 400 richest men, about 20% of them are Jews. It's interesting, isn't it? That this verse we just read is something every Jew has memorized. It's even more interesting that less than 0.2% of the world, 0.2% of the world are Jews, roughly about 14, 15 million Jews in the world. And yet since 1901, the Nobel Peace Prize winners for economics, politics, chemistry, medicine are mostly Jews. Nearly 20% of them are Jews. You know why? It's not because it's supernatural. It's because by the time a Jew can walk, they're taught how to read and to study. It's not supernatural. It's a very basic thing. By the time they can walk, every Jew is taught how to read. How many of you read on a daily basis here? Hello? The cartoons, hallelujah. And with video, even less. The reason why these guys are smart is not because they're the chosen people of God. The reason why these guys are smart is because by the time they're born and they can open their eyes, they're actually taught how to read. And it doesn't stop. Every day, every year, their parents teach them how to read. That's why they're smart. That's why they study. That's why the best lawyers. That's why the Kissingers. That's why the Chart Schultz. That's why all of these people are the way they are, is because they keep studying and they keep reading because they understand prosperity. It is not supernatural. What is supernatural is what they're reading, because they read the Bible. They read the Bible day and night. They meditate on it day and night. They think the Bible. We attend churches. They don't. They memorize this thing. They live this thing. And that's why from a young age, this is very important, if you're going to be prosperous, they have no scarcity mentality. The average Jew does not think there's scarcity. It's the other way around. Some people think that the Jews are prosperous because they think everything's scarce, they have to work hard. No, no, no. It's the other way around. The reason why they got persecuted is because they're so prosperous. They start out poor, but because they have this mindset that there is no scarcity, there is no limit. In fact, they believe that the God who made everything is unlimited. And this is important for you. How do you know that you have a scarcity mentality? It's very easy to know. When you see your friend blessed and you envy it, you have a scarcity mentality. Wow, it's quiet here today. By the way, welcome back to all of you. Dad's back home. Sorry. I keep telling my kids, don't you ever envy somebody when they're prosperous. Because the fact that they are means you can also be. And every time you reason with this idea that the more this guy prospers, something is getting lost from me, tells you, you have a scarcity mentality. You will never prosper. And zero. So before you buy your next Nike, amen? Read your Bible. Renew your mind and you will have 20 Nikes. In fact, you will invent the next Nike. That's not the mark of prosperity. It's spending your money on a sale. It's to understand that the God who created all things is a God of creation and multiplication, who takes a seed and turns it into an apple tree that produces billions of trees and seeds and apples, and it never stops. The average Jew, from the day he's born, believes that. You can dump him in the Bronx. You can dump him everywhere. He thinks that way. You can persecute him. You can kill him. You can throw him in the ghetto. He will believe that because from the time he was born, he believes that. And if you're going to be prosperous in your life, you better believe it. And they grow up not just having that mentality. They grow up, they believe that they would read Genesis, the thing we're studying. That when God made Adam and Eve and put them in Eden, they put a river. Not just, he put four rivers. How many rivers do you need to drink? One is more than enough for two people. God did not give them one. They gave them four. And every Jew believes that. The God who gave me life is a God of abundance. So I can start from the poorest place because of injustice. I'm getting out of that. That's prosperity. They have no scarcity mentality. In fact, they believe everything God made is good. Because from the time they're little boys, they're reminded, God made trees, they're good. God made plants, they're good. God made stars, they're good. That everything is good. Some of you, the reason why you have not a prosperous future, not only do you think there's a scarcity, you actually think that rich people are bad people. Oops, really, it's quiet here today. Some of you actually believe that. That when somebody's rich, automatically he's suspect. That guy did something bad. Wrong. Change that. Now, that's not to say that there are no rich people who are not bad. Amen? Let's not make a mistake with that. But if you automatically suspect that just because someone is prosperous and wealthy and successful, that he's doing something wrong, you know what's going to happen? You're going to think prosperity is bad. And when you do think something's bad, you will never strive for it. And it's going to be a big mistake. And you're going to be spinning your wheels, trying to make all your money, but you're operating from a limited, scarce mentality. Worse, you think that being prosperous is actually bad. Your chances for prosperity is zero because you're not thinking right. Notice in Genesis chapter 2, 11, the name of the first river is Pishon, and it's the one that flowed the whole land of Havilah where the gold, there is gold. You can imagine you're a little boy and your father's telling you, you know what? God made paradise for us. And you know one of the features is not just four rivers of water. The four rivers of water are filled with gold. And you know what else it says? The gold of that land. It's not just the trees are good, the plants are good, the animals are good. The gold is good. It's good for you. Not just so you can buy shoes, but because if you're poor, you're never going to be able to help anyone. Why are you so quiet this morning? This is important. They don't have everything that God has made is good. Not the trees. God will make a way all the time. Remember, the first five books of the Bible is what these kids read. And so they know the story of Exodus. That their generations were enslaved and they were unjustly treated. But they believe that somehow, some way, God's going to come through for it. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, he says, so I stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do, and after that, I will let you go. Or rather, the Pharaoh will let you go. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman should ask her neighbor, any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold and jewelry and clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, and you shall plunder the Egyptians. They believe that. That you can do all the injustice you want to do to me. You can besmirch me. You can accuse me. You can condemn me. My God will make a way for me over time. When you grow up believing that, Howard Schultz was from the Bronx. He came from a Jewish immigrants. They had no money. He started out with nothing. He was a Xerox salesman. Jonas Salk was from a poor family. Invented the polio. All of these guys. Albert Einstein was a clerk. They weren't geniuses. They had a belief system. And finally, they had a correct definition of prosperity. Sometimes the reason why we don't prosper is we only think that the only way of prosperity is just having a lot of money. That's not what prosperity means. The way the Jews define it is abundant prosperity is in the fruit of your womb. Before they even think about money, to them, prosperity is relational. In fact, they believe only God can grant it. Because you have no control over it. If you talk about the fruit of the womb, you have no control. None of us have control over that. The Jews have a strong spiritual belief that God will prosper me. I don't know how. I do know that if I live according to his statutes, he will bless the fruit of my womb. Fruit of your womb also tells you that it's not just that God will prosper you. He will grant it to you. He will actually give it to you. It's just that you don't have control. It's about largely about relationships. I think you've heard me say this before, and I want to repeat it again. It's really not how much you know. It's about who you know. When I think about my son is flying in tonight and I'm having dinner with him, and every time I chat with him, he honors me by saying, many of the important things I learned in life, I learned from you. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just saying this to make you understand something. The most important lessons you're going to learn from people who love you. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn that from parents, and if you don't have that, you're going to learn that from people in church who genuinely care about you and tell you what you don't want to hear, because they're not trying to sell you something. Genuine prosperity always travels from the breath of relationships. That's why the Jews were the greatest bankers, because they understood that banking was about trust and relationship. They understood it was about honor. They understood, thou shall not steal. Thou shall not covet. They understood that as a life, as a way of living. That's why people trusted them. They were prosperous, not because they were the smartest or the chosen people, but because they lived by a certain standard. Probably one of the most stressful places to work in the United States government is the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. It would be the equivalent of the Central Bank of the United States. What's interesting is over the last 31 years, the three governors were all Jews. Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, and a lady named Janet Yellen. You have to ask, is that a coincidence? And you know, each president that appointed these people were asked, why would you do something like that? You know why? Because we can trust them. You know what's interesting about these three people? Not only are they Federal Reserve governors, their marriages are intact. Greenspan is already 93 years old because they value relationships. They know I have no control. They know it's largely irrational, and they know it's about trust and honor is basic. That if I'm to prosper, it's not just me trying to enrich myself and grab a position. And no, God's going to take care of me. Notice where it says in Deuteronomy verse 11, here's the holistic side of prosperity. It's not just that you will have abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, it's in the young of your livestock. This is very important here. You will never prosper if you don't understand this concept right here. When the Jews think about the young of the livestock, they think about Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. In the course of the life of Cain, he brought the Lord an offering. It's about an offering. And he was bringing him some of the fruit of the ground. But Abel, whom they relate with, brought the firstborn, the young of the flock, and the best part. To the Jews, when they give to God, next to their relationships, giving to God of what they have is something extremely honorable and extremely important. And here's the reason why that's important. Because if you can give God, who loves you so much and looks up you, and something that's blind and nasty and ugly and the worst of what you have, you're going to do that to everybody else. If you can cheat God, you'll cheat everybody else. That's the Jewish way. That's the way they think. That's why they're prosperous. I love this message, don't you? I preached this message about 30 years ago. I've got people who come to me every now and then and say, you know what, Pastor, that changed my life. It really did. It prospered me. It was about an offering. And notice the chiastic of this verse, where it says, and Cain's offering, didn't enjoy that regard. Because you're never going to give a 10 to everybody if you're not willing to give your 10 to God. Yeah. This morning, at about 4 o'clock this morning, the lady in my hotel, I just landed. I said, what are you doing? I'm working. What do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. Why are you up at 4 o'clock? Because I'm not going to deliver something ugly. That's not happening. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 10. Because that's what prosperous people do. They're so prosperous, they want to give more. They just have so much more. It's not about a pair of Asics, amen? Some of you still don't get it. But Pastor, I really want that watch. You have an iPhone. You have 40 watches inside your phone. Save that money. And then it says the crops of your ground. This is how they define this thing. The crops means I'm blessed. The reason why God rejected the offering of Cain was because it was cursed. Why are you returning to me what I've cursed? The Jews know that because of God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. They understand the covenant of Abraham. God blessed him so he could become a blessing. That's what this is all about. It's I want to have more. I want to drive this. You know, if you want more, you're asking for more headache. Don't you just love grab? Amen? I don't have to work. I don't have to have a driver now. I don't have to park a car. I don't have to buy insurance. I don't have to repair the car. And I can choose any car I want. That's prosperity. And then you start envying the guy who runs Grab. What's wrong with you? Every time somebody prospers, you prosper. Stop thinking this way. You're coming from a scarcity mentality. And let me land this thing. In the land you swore to your ancestors. They just don't believe this. They think this is my destiny. This is me. This is how I live. This is the way I do life. The Jews behave that way because they believe God chose me. Probably the holiest celebration of the Jews is the Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is an annual Jewish celebration. And the whole idea about the Yom Kippur is that you are at one. You're at one with God. It's powerful thinking. The Jews literally celebrate this and pause for this very holy day, and they tell all their children, this is one of the most holiest, most important celebration you're ever going to make in your life, and you need to do this every year. That you're at one with God. And that's where we get the word atone, where God washes away every sin and everything that's nasty about you because you're special, because you have a destiny, because God ordained you to be prosperous. That's what makes these guys different, because they believe I'm special. And you know who that is today? And this is why this message is so important, because some Christians don't get it. This is you. You are the spiritual Jew. You've been welcomed into the kingdom of God. That's why 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people for God's possession, so that you may be able to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So my simple message is, get rid of scarcity mentality. Some of you need to repent because you've limited God. And my only source is my boss. Your source is not your boss. Your source is God. I love it when a young lady came up to me and said, Pastor, I prayed and I felt like God told me to go home to the Philippines. I said, where are you going home? I'm going home to the province. I'm going home to Palawan. I was so blown away by the thought that the belief, and that's not to say that if you live here, God didn't bring you here. Prosperity believes that God can prosper me wherever he brings me. Amen?
Yes.
Some of you need to say amen to that. Some of you think the only way I'm going to prosper is if I live in this certain country or if I go to this other place. Love you enough to tell you what you need to hear. To know that everything God made is good. Stop looking at wealthy people and think they must be doing something bad. They must be. Stop thinking that way, because you're never going to be that way because you think that's evil. Believe that God will meet you every time. But more importantly, define prosperity correctly. It's about relationships. It's about the reality that I want to give God my best, because every time I do that, my behavior will always be my best. It's about the fact that my crops are going to be blessed, not cursed, blessed. And it's about the fact that He will bless me in the land that I'm destined to be blessed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.